Welcome back in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited about today's show. I mean, we're talk about a childhood dream come true today. Given the subject matter of our interview today and joining us to talk about this show, we have the creator, Jonathan Rockefeller. He's here to talk to us about Sesame Street, the musical, which is playing now through August 4th at the Center for Puppetry Arts in Atlanta, Georgia. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting sesamestreetmusical.com. As I said, we're so excited about this show. Anyone out there, I mean, I would love to see a raise of hands of who didn't ever interact or wasn't raised by Sesame Street. So this is going to be such a great, great childhood show. And with that, let's go ahead and welcome on our guest, Jonathan. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so excited that you're here. Thank you for joining me basically on the road as you are set up now in Atlanta, Georgia. Let us start by having you tell all of us kind of a little bit about what Sesame Street, the musical, is about.
Okay, so as you mentioned, all of us grew up on Sesame Street. And what one of the great things about Sesame Street, I believe, is some of their music and their songs. They've had some of the best Grammy award-winning writers, some of the best Broadway writers write music that is on the show. And so this show was really, really an opportunity to have a narrative that was going to showcase a lot of the Sesame Street music, as well as having some songs constructed, especially for this show. And of course, I dare I not forget to mention, to have the Sesame Street characters on stage is just such a coup. Of course, you couldn't do this show with anybody else. So of course, Elmo and Abby Cadabby are starring in the show.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I'm just so excited just listening to this. I want to get on a plane and see some of my favorite characters live on stage. This is great. So as I mentioned in the intro, you know, you're the creator of this show. So what inspired you to create this piece?
So we have another little production called The Very Hungry Caterpillar Show. And it's a show that's been running now for 10 years. We've got 10 productions of it around the world. And I'm very fortunate enough that some of the folks at Sesame Workshop came and saw the show several years ago. And they really, really enjoyed what we do. They enjoyed what the kids do. And we started a conversation about what would it look like if it were possible that we could bring the Muppets from Sesame Street on stage to deliver a proper musical performance. And so over time, we discussed it. We worked out what it could potentially look like, which characters would we get involved, and then eventually, you know, hit the ground running and got all the gang together, shall we say, to put on the show.
That is amazing. So this is not the first time the show has been done, of course, because it had two hit runs here in New York off Broadway. If memory serves me right, once at Theater Row and then at Theater 555. So what has it been like developing this particular production that's on the road now?
So there's a lot of elements which are still fundamentally the same, but it is incredibly wonderful to take Sesame Street outside of New York City. A lot of people think of Sesame Street because of the set designs in the actual physical television show. It feels a bit like New York City. So it's wonderful to bring a show of this stature on the road for different audiences to experience. I don't want to ruin the plot, but there usually is a guest star that wanders on not knowing what to do. And so it feels incredibly local and intimate for the audiences to experience. And I think that for us, Sesame Street was always about being tactile and being approachable. And we make sure that everything that we do on this show, whether as part of the journey of the show, but the audience experience, is incredibly tactile and approachable. So we've probably got a lot more, I don't know, do we call them environmental or 3D elements in this show than you do on other shows? Like, example, when Ernie is having a bath for singing Rubber Ducky, and there is a reason that he's having a bath, don't worry, but there is a reason. And bubbles will go all throughout the audience. So we're very much making it it's a theatrical piece. It's a show that the Sesame Street characters are putting on, but it's incredibly relatable to our target audiences.
is fantastic. Now, as I'm sure we've mentioned several times already, if not n-teenth times, you know, this is an iconic children's organization, children's show. You know, everybody knows these characters and whatnot. And with the show that obviously is intended to reach children, is there a message or a thought you hope that they take away from this piece?
Well, there's a couple of messages. So first of all, the Sesame Street characters are putting on a show. So they are working out themselves what they need to do it. They practice their singing, they practice their dancing. And for us, we're teaching young audiences what goes into behind the scenes of creating a theater show. But amongst all those things is always the Sesame Street messages of being a team, working together. They sing this wonderful song that I really love, is that it's called Fuzzy and Blue. And Grover and Cookie Monster are singing this song about how they love being fuzzy and blue. And then we've got an orange Yip Yip, the alien that tries to join in. And of course, he's not fuzzy and blue. So they changed the lyrics around to incorporate their friend into the show. And it turns really, really silly, but it is a really, really good message of there's a place for absolutely everybody and teamwork. You can, you know, work as a team to put on a show and a production like this.
That is so wonderful. Yes. We need more shows like this. I'm just saying. So my final question for this first part, of course, will be, who do you hope have access to Sesame Street, the musical?
Look, I think if you grew up on the show, which we all did, and people still growing up on the show now, this show is really for you. It is for families to bring their young kids. It's for grandmothers to bring the grandchildren. It's for people who just love Sesame Street and don't have kids at all. And what I really, really love is this show is accessible for kids and people who still have kids inside them.
Well, for the second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guest a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I want to start with our regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. I constantly think that we all like a painting, that we have all got dabs of colors from different aspects in our lives that we have that create who we are. Obviously, I work with puppets. So I think that, you know, if I was to say a go-to of something that would be inspirational in that field, I would say, you know, The Lion King is a really good first-class example to look at, to go, well, what is an experience that's really, really wonderful. But then we've also seen other incredible puppetry experiences like War Horse, or My Neighbor Totoro, which is in London, well, was in London. So there's some really, really great examples of great things. Having said all that, you know, this piece itself, Sesame Street, was all about sort of more vaudevillian. It's more of a review than a traditional musical. So I think that there's sort of some Jim Henson humor and some songs and lyrics that are playing into that. Another big influence in my life, I'd have to say, is Eric Carle. One of the first productions that I ever worked on was my production of The Very Hungry Caterpillar Show. And his art has such an impact on me. When I got to work with him to create that show, it's a really, really special show in my heart.
I love that. And I love that you continue to mention The Very Hungry Caterpillar, because that's another show that ran at Theater Row, but is also coming back this summer, if I remember right. If memory serves, is that the Daryl Roth, the DR2?
So we are coming to the Duke Theatre this season, but it's so exciting. This is the 10-year anniversary of that show. So when you think about it, there's some 5-year-olds that are now 15 years old who have gone on to probably have careers or are interested in having careers. And I hope in some ways it probably inspired them, or certainly got them interested in learning or colors, or got them an experience that they never had before. But it's so amazing to think that there's almost 2 million kids around the world who have seen that show over the last 10 years.
That is so wonderful. Congrats on that. Let me ask you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
To me, I don't consider it work. The reason I don't consider it work is it's so joyful to do what we do, is that it's, to me, it's more of a lifestyle. Because if you are seeing a show, it is kind of work. You're doing research, or you're admiring someone else's work, and you're working out how to better your own craft. So to me, it's not really work. It's more like it is part of the lifestyle of what it is that I desire to do this as a job, in inverted commas. And, you know, it pays the bills, but at the same time, it gives so much to me personally to be able to do this. And I'm so lucky to be working on shows that give so much back to other people in the process.
That is a fantastic answer. Love it. And it's a great lead into my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Well, you know what? My very, very first theater memory as an adult working in theater was I was working on Baz Luhrmann's production of La Boheme in Los Angeles. And that, to me, I was very young at the time. I was very inexperienced at the time. That was my first professional experience. And so I'll very much remember everything that I did wrong.
I love that memory. Listen, what a great learning moment to share with, right?
You know? Exactly.
Oh, that's a wonderful, what a show to work on. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you or your company have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Look, I think the thing I would love everyone to come and celebrate is the 10-year anniversary of The Hungry Caterpillar. What we do as a company, Rockefeller Studios, we work on a lot of projects, which is for families, whether they're young families, older families. And it's really, really to inspire people to foster and grow a love of theater. So if you have or can borrow a young child to come and see one of our shows, I encourage you to do that, because you're helping create the next generation of theater goers.
I love that pitch. And I love that idea. Absolutely. We've got to start reaching out to them, honestly, at a younger age, really watch them get that theater bug and continue to cultivate it so they can continue to create and change the world. So I love that. Finally, if our listeners would like more information about Sesame Street the Musical or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Yes, so Sesame Street the Musical, visit the website, sesamestreetmusical.com, or you can find out more about us and what we do at Rockefeller Studios at rockefellerstudios.com.
Wonderful. Well, Jonathan, thank you so, so much for taking the time to speak with me today, for sharing this incredible piece that you've created. I can't wait to see what's next for it. I can't wait for it to return to New York. You've created something so wonderful that is going to leave a lasting impact on millions of children. So thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you for your support and all your listeners' support as well.
Thank you. My guest today has been the amazing creator, Jonathan Rockefeller, whose new work, Sesame Street the Musical, is playing now through August 4th at the Center for Puppetry Arts in Atlanta, Georgia. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting sesamestreetmusical.com. And we also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting in our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But if you are in the Atlanta, Georgia area, or you need an excuse to go on a vacation, head on out to the Center for Puppetry Arts for this incredible, incredible show, Sesame Street the Musical, playing now through August 4th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you. Where I don't